16, 17 months ago, I was fortunate enough to be invited out to
South Australia. They wanted me to go and help them with their Building Schools for the Future programme. And as in most of these things, there was far more value for me in the things that I learned out there than there was for them in anything I had to say to them about what we were doing in Building Schools for the Future in the UK. And one of the delights of that was that one day in Adelaide, I got this strange message on my phone asking me to meet Paul, as it turned out, outside the museum. So I thought, well, I've got nothing better to do. I'll go and stand outside the museum and meet this strange man. And so I stood outside the museum, and Paul arrived. And that was the start of a milk adventure that afternoon, because the whole thing had been set up with a whole series of tasks based around the museum and art gallery and the pieces of art in the gallery. And so Paul and I spent the rest of the afternoon adventuring around the art gallery. And that was the first time that I came across Deb's work in that context as well. Paul specialises at the moment in working with vocational students in the 14 to 19 age range, and has done some very interesting work linking Moodle to flash video created with mobile phones as a means for both providing students with access to video of experts using particular tools in vocational contexts, but also of allowing students to film themselves with evidence of their work and their progress, and then be able to quickly and easily upload that video as assessment evidence for their vocational courses when they're in workplace learning away from their school or college base. And again, Deb used the phrase, you know, lo-fi, low-tech. This is not a high-tech solution, it's a very easily accessible solution. But it actually uses the technologies in a way which is unusual, certainly in the UK at the moment, in terms of students being encouraged to do that. And we hit a technical problem.
Thank you, Steve. It's nothing like a bit of technology trouble to get you ready for a presentation. Folks, I'm Paul Doherty from Adelaide, down south. Deb talked about tricking students into learning by using her games. I guess I'm about tricking teachers into changing their teaching practices. Just a little bit of background. I have about close to 30 years teaching experience in the secondary area. I trained as an art teacher. And really, I guess, specialised in photography most of my life. So I ended up moving towards the technology side. In our South Australian schools, photography is taught as a technology rather than an art, which is quite blasphemous, really. But I sort of conformed. But I guess, generally, moving in a photography world, I gradually became involved in Photoshop and finally ended up teaching multimedia, so I switched from being an art teacher to a technology teacher. But at the same time, started to be involved in teacher professional development as a coach. And the area that I was a coach was up in our Flinders Ranges, which is north of Adelaide. How many people have been to the Flinders Ranges? Well, that's a shame. You must all come across to the Flinders Ranges. This photograph is actually a little north of the Flinders in Arkaroola, and it's a beautiful place. You can see there's lots of water. I'm afraid that water's not there anymore. That was a few years ago. Anyway, when I emailed Steve to tell him I was coming across to the MLearn conference and to Handheld, and I thought I was just going to sneak into Handheld, have a look around and go, he emailed me and said, okay, what about presenting? And I thought, okay, Handheld, what can I present? Folks, I come here not as an expert. The program may suggest that I'm part of a panel of experts. I believe I'm a practitioner, somebody who has had teaching experience, somebody who is observing what is going on in teaching and with students, and I can see that there is a great need for change. Teachers of my ilk, with experience are silos of knowledge. They've been doing it for 20 or 30 years. They know it all. And why should I change? They teach the same way. But unfortunately, a lot of those teachers are really stressed because of the difficulties they're having within the classroom. The kids are different. They won't just sit there and listen politely. So my role now, I'm out of the classroom working for the Department of Education and Children's Services in learning technologies. And so my job is to run professional development for teachers in a whole range of areas. Also been involved recently in helping schools apply for Kevin Rudd's new funding for what we call the DER, the Digital Education Revolution, where he is supplying or providing $1,000 for every year 9 to 12 student in Australia so that they will have access to computers. Now, he's not giving... Before the election, it came across that every kid was going to get a laptop, so everyone voted for Labor. But the way it's actually turning out is that the departments like DECS, where I work, we get the $1,000 and then we procure the equipment for the schools. But the catch was that schools had to apply for that funding and include a 5-year visionary plan of how they were going to use ICT. And some of them were right down here at base level, not knowing where to start. And so we developed a tool which was really based on Bechtel research that allowed schools to sort of look at where their site sat on a continuum of in the way they were using ICT. And so we would go into the schools, work with leadership, and get them to fill in this plan, which really started them thinking. Now, I have a particular focus on some districts in up near the Flinders area and York Peninsula. But just to follow on from my role in learning technologies, I just took out one of the dot points of our mission statement. And this one excites me. Now, I think I'm a bit of a role model for older teachers because I get excited by this stuff. I actually like it. And I'm not... Well, yeah, it would be nice to retire, but since I left Australia, I think my super's gone way down and I'll probably have to teach forever. So you can't just sit back and do things the way you've always done them. So I'm excited by new technologies. That's why I got involved with Deb's MILT program and was very happy to try and get teachers involved with that. So I'm going out there and trying to expose teachers to a few new ideas. Now, my presentation is really about a project that I began with a group of teachers, and I guess the context is this, that certainly when I left Australia 2 weeks ago, there was a mining boom, and we were selling lots of raw material to China, who do really great stuff with it, and then sell it back to us. I've never quite worked that out. But there's a lot of money for workers to go to the mining areas like Roxby Downs, which is just north of Adelaide. And so people are leaving their jobs and going up there to become truck drivers and so on $100,000 a year. So people are leaving farms and going to the mines, etc. But this has caused a bit of a problem because you need people to be able to live up there, and so there's a great need of new housing, accommodation. But also, the mining industry requires highly skilled people. They do require welders and metal workers and machinery operators and so on. And there is a definite skill shortage in Australia of people with those skills. Now, way back, we used to have technical schools. I always remember the kids at Goodwood Tech. You know, you stayed away from them. But they were the kids who were actually they were actually learning a trade, but we did away with all that. All the high schools just became high schools. We taught tech in the high school, but the kids started to vote with their feet. They didn't like the dirty work of metalwork and woodwork. They preferred to do hospitality, and our hospitality courses are brimming over. You would have 3 or 4 hospitality courses in year 11 and 12 to one in, say, metalwork. And some schools were lucky to get a class, enough kids to do metalwork at year 12 level. So there was this push to be academics, to go to university and not to TAFE. So there has been a government response to this, and a lot of money has now been injected into programs. And some of these, for instance, in South Australia, we're developing trade schools for the future. These are centres, if you like, that offer courses that students in neighbouring schools can enrol in. So they would perhaps have to travel to that school for a day or half a day. Now, that's fine if it's just down the road, but if you're in a country area, that can be quite significant. Also, the Commonwealth Government is funding trade centres, and that's a bit of a name to try and get many high schools back to a level that they were, 20 odd years ago, with up-to-date equipment and so on. Well, what some schools are doing is joining forces. Instead of each school getting all that new equipment, they're saying, OK, we'll build up one school and we'll have kids go to that centre. We're also promoting our VET, or Vocational Education and Training courses, which traditionally have been run by our TAFE, or Technical and Further Education, which is where kids will go after leaving school. But we're now introducing more VET courses within school and industry pathways. Next year in South Australia, we're beginning our new SACE, which is the South Australian Certificate of Education. And the new SACE includes personal learning plans as a compulsory part of that. Also is allowing for students who want to choose a pathway to study that pathway entirely but still satisfy the SACE requirements for numeracy, literacy, etc. So a kid at year 10 who wants to be a carpenter or you're in a building trade, in woods trade, can say, right, I'm going to start that pathway now and still satisfy all of the SACE requirements. There's a lot of text here. I don't expect you to read it all, but this is actually off our DECS website, and there's a couple of interesting figures here. This is really promoting the new pathways courses with the new SACE. But down here it says currently only 55% of school leavers enrol directly in a VET or university course each year upon leaving school. This rate is not high enough to meet the demand from the state's emerging skill shortages, either in the short or the long term. So, 50% of kids are leaving school without actually sort of an aim of heading into further training. Now, guys, I know you see Australia like that from up here. This is what it's really like. I haven't referred to my notes once. So you can see Australia is a very big place, and South Australia is a very big place as well. If I was really clever, I'd work it out in relation to England, but I think it's bigger. So I'm based here, and yet we've got schools all around here. And these are some of the areas that I have targeted, if you like. They are special initiatives that we... Because the people in the country, they get a bit across, because they said all the city teachers get to do the professional development. It's easy for them, but they always have to travel, and they get a bit annoyed at that. So I'm happy. I love going out into the country. It's nothing better than on a work day to get into a lovely car, put the CD in, and head off through beautiful countryside, and then get there and do some work and drive home again. So I'm very happy to go out there. And being a photographer, I just love to see all of those changing colours and so on through the seasons. So I have been targeting teachers sort of up in this area, and down here you can't quite see it for the text, but York Peninsula is not far from Adelaide, across some waters, but you've got to drive all the way around unless you fly across. So some of these schools are setting up these trade schools for the future and trade centres. So what that means is the students enrolled in those subjects could live 100 kilometres that way, 150 that way, and so on. So there is some times when they are going to be travelling to that school to do some intensive trade work, perhaps an intensive welding course or something like that. And what that really means is that if I'm the English teacher in a school, some of my kids are missing on a Wednesday because they're over at the other school doing their trade. So I saw this as a great opportunity to start introducing the idea to teachers of using VLEs, and Moodle is the one that we support. I called the program Digital Bridge, and the aim was to find some champion teachers, some teachers who would take all this fantastic stuff I was going to tell them on board, get really excited, and go back to their schools and maybe start to do some in-servicing with teachers in their own school. So I sort of got this in train. I had the district, which is called the Flinders District, very keen and very supportive. As well as looking at Moodle as a VLE, so the idea here being that students can access course material anywhere, anytime. They may be based in Peterborough, but doing a course in Jamestown for 3 weeks. So they should still be able to keep in contact with their teacher in Peterborough, keep up with coursework, communicate using the tools, even, you know, upload some assignments, etc., whilst they're away holidaying in the local, the next town, having fun welding. But I also wanted to introduce the idea of using media tools. How could we capture some of the skills that are required in a trade area on video? Maybe we could podcast and have these all sitting in Moodle so the kids could access this stuff anywhere, anytime, and on a need to know. I'm going to be assessed tomorrow morning. I want to run through that safety procedure again. So I introduced the idea of podcasting and flip video. Now, what I'm going to do, I just thought I'd hand these around whilst I'm talking. Would you mind unpackaging that one and pass it on? Now, this is the flip video. Now, the problem with coming from Australia and talking to you guys is that you probably know all this stuff, but these are really hard to get hold of in Australia, and we had to get them on eBay. Perhaps I should just quickly demonstrate it. But you can all have a go. I've cleaned everything off. There's nothing on here that you can really look at. The idea of this is you just turn it on by flicking the little switch on the side down, and you'll get your video. You press the red button to start recording. It records quite, I think, high quality video and quite good sound. This one is a 1 gig and it will hold 30 minutes of video. Now we're talking about getting sort of 1 minute, 30 second to 1 minute little clips. when you finished recording, you pull down the little flip and plug it into your USB and immediately download it. Teachers are going wild over these. Everywhere I go in Australia, into my schools, they immediately want one. They don't care what I'm talking about up here. They just want to play with this. And so what we've done is, as a bit of an incentive, is to give one of these to every teacher who has committed to coming along to my special Digital Bridge workshops. And theoretically, they get it if they commit to following up and, you know, doing all the right things. So we've handed out quite a few, but we still have to get them through eBay, basically. But now there's a couple of companies who are bringing them in. But they're about $150 in Australia, so they'd be really dirt cheap over here. Since coming to MLearn, I met some people who actually showed me another little camera, which is also, you know, similar. So, but the idea was that, see, teachers are scared of technology. They're scared of video cameras and very scared of having to edit. That's way too hard. That's the sort of thing you get the kids to do. How am I going? So we wanted something that was easy, pretty quick, required the minimal amount of editing, and teachers could get into it and start using it. I haven't got very far with this group of teachers in the podcasting side of things, but this is quite an easy way to record sound. We're recording today up here on the little iPod recorder, but this is an Edirol recorder by Roland. This is quite high quality, broadcast quality, I believe. And so you can easily put it down in a room or on a desk and record. So a teacher theoretically could record some aspects of their lesson that they're delivering and perhaps make that available as an audio file on Moodle for students who miss their lesson to listen into. But we're just coping with flip videos at the moment, and we'll move forward with this sort of thing. Would you like to look at this? Yep. That's expensive. Don't use that one. Okay, so some of this was new for me as well. I mean, I'm quite happy and comfortable using the technology, but I wanted to test it out. I wanted to see just how easy it would be to work, to go into a classroom and actually record kids operating machinery, etc. So I'll just... actually at the school that I used to teach at. This was my last school. And so the teacher, you know, rang him up and said, I'd like you to be a guinea pig. So I was quite impressed with the quality of the video. So it's just that little camera handheld with a photographer's hand, of course. But, you know, the quality is very good and the sound is very good. So... that was my proof of concept. So then I had to sort of sell it to some of these teachers. I wanted to look into the idea of a teacher actually filming a demonstration of a process. Now, we could turn that around, and that could be a student filming the teacher, or a student filming another student to record a process or the safe use of a tool.
Yes.
might be familiar to you. Okay, so that was sort of unrehearsed. I just rolled along to the school that afternoon and asked Kevin, who I had taught with for a number of years, if he'd be willing to do that. But I thought that was okay, you know. You could just capture that little bit of a lesson and post it. And if that was something that was going to be assessed, because these courses are competency assessed, then a student could say, oh yeah, what is it about tightening up the knob and the adjuster, and I can't over tighten and all that sort of stuff. How many of you went to MLearn in Melbourne? Okay, well, I've got to admit that this one's not mine. I pinched this one from the people selling the learning table there, which was a Rifford technology where students could pick up a card that had a little RFID tag on it and scan it across a scanner that would play this piece of media. So that's another area that I have been playing with and introducing to some of the teachers in the trade schools, that as well as having the media up on Moodle, you could have it in the classroom and have little cards with the tags on them, and the tag is linked to a piece of media. But what some schools are doing, particularly in Victoria and New South Wales, is having the tags on pieces of machinery or tools. And so the student maybe needs a little safety lesson before they use that tool, can scan the RFID tag, and the little bit of media will play perhaps on a screen nearby, or even on, in some cases, they're putting the screen on the tool itself. So this one led me to think about assessment. So I'll just play a little bit of this.
Take the issues in Melbourne, don't shoot yourself in the hand. Don't put the gun at anyone. Wear PPE. Shoot oil gun before use.
What PPE should you wear with the gun?
Protection, ear protection. You should be wearing boots as well. What else?
Demonstration of how to use the gun.
Oh, yeah. Always keep your hand back so you don't skewer it.
Okay, so I started chatting to a few people in Adelaide. One of them, a guy called Steve Burney, runs a program called Doorways to Construction. This is supported by the Construction Industry Training Board, which is quite independent of our education section. But they put a lot of money into schools to support this program of training young people to become competent in building construction. And so we'll send them all up to the mines to build houses. But the problem is, a lot of these kids are in very isolated areas. So I showed you the map. We've got kids way out on Ceduna, Eyre Peninsula, some of them in the Aboriginal lands area. And these courses, these VET courses, are assessed via competencies. So you have to pass, if you like, you have to show that you are competent. And for certificate one level, that is entry level, you know, some of them look pretty basic to plan and organise work, conduct workplace communications, but sometimes we're dealing with kids who have not really succeeded in normal education, and you know, but they're good with their hands, and so I get sort of directed into these sorts of courses. But anyway, they have to show that they're competent. So this Steve Burney, when I showed him the flip video, which I hope it hasn't gone out the door, He thought, hey, this is great. Instead of getting our assessors, because they have to get somebody from our TAFE sector to actually assess these kids, often on the job, you know, at a building site, to see that they are competent in some of these things. So he started to think about, what if we... Well, he had trouble for assessors to travel that far, and they were breaking their contracts because it was just too far, especially with petrol prices and so on. So what about actually getting kids to film what they're doing on the building site? Maybe get another student or another teacher who may not be trained to assess in these areas to film them talking about the particular roofing joist that they've just done, or the safety operation of a tool or something, and upload it to Moodle and be assessed. Now, we're still debating. Some people are a bit anxious about that, but that's the sort of thing that we're thinking about. So I went out to a site where they run this Doorways to Construction course, and they actually get two houses each year from our Housing Trust Authority, that it is the responsibility of these kids to renovate. And then it gets back to the Housing Trust, and they you know, get more tenants. So they're updating these fairly old houses. So I went out and had a look at these kids. So they've got a teacher who is more like a manager foreman on the site. So these kids get to do the actual work. So this is looking at an assessment on measuring and cutting materials.
The task is to climb up on the scaffolding to measure the distance from the eaves lining to the fascia. Once you've got that measurement, you can cut a piece of the eaves lining, bring it back and fit it into
Okay, so that's sort of looking at the competency of measuring and cutting. We might think that's pretty basic, but it's not. You know, you've got to make sure those measurements are right. You've got to do some pretty simple maths, I guess. But for some of these kids, that's a challenge. This one's about safe handling of materials, so lifting correctly. Set up for this presentation, but the teacher's getting across this is the competency that you are meeting. So they were going to fit that up here into the ceiling. So it's just a simple thing, but to know how to go down and lift that board without injuring your back and so on is something that they have to know and have to be able to express as part of their assessment. So I guess my idea was that, okay, I'm the kid, I'm going to be assessed tomorrow on the correct way to lift a piece of plasterboard roofing, ceiling. I could just watch that little clip and practice. It'd be a bit like curtsying to the queen, wouldn't it? Okay, so my final one was really to get a student to actually go right through the safety procedures of using a particular piece of equipment, in this case a docking saw. And once again, I walked into this school. The teacher knew that I was coming, but didn't really know what I was wanting of them. And this student, he didn't have a clue that this was going to happen. and I think he did an excellent job. So you can just see the situation, a little flip video. I have got it on a monopod just to help keep it a little steadier, and you can also then lift it and get various angles. So the student here had to actually explain the safety issues. Now, if you go out to a building site, you don't see too many builders doing this, but you do have to pass the competency. So it would have been nice to do it again without the dust filter blowing off at the back. However, what do you think? If I was a student and I had done that and then I posted it to a teacher 1,000 kilometres away on Moodle, would that be... Am I showing my competence? Am I showing my understanding of the safety issues in using that saw? That's the thing we have to get across and have accepted. But I thought that was great. I loved that way that kid got up and did that without any rehearsal. Just finally, just to reflect on the project so far. So I had this group of teachers, about 15 teachers from every secondary school in the Flinders district, who would come together for an afternoon every 5 weeks or so. And I would drive for 2.5 hours, run the workshop and drive home for 2.5 hours. But as I said before, that was great. My champions turned out to be introverted champions. You know, these guys, they were a bit nervous of coming into this. They were obviously willing, but they probably weren't the excited champions that I wanted. I really wanted a Deb. You know, someone who would get excited and race back to their school and say, hey, you know what, this is what I found out. But in actual fact, they were doing it. They were just the sort of people who sat quietly in the workshop and took it all in. But there were some interesting things happening. The early use of Moodle as a VLE was basically, I'm going to take my Word documents, my Word course, and pop it up there on Moodle. And now when the kid comes in and says, Mr. Doherty, I've lost my sheet that you handed out, go and print it off yourself, it's on Moodle. You know, so that was sort of the level of some of them thinking. And I was trying to get across, no, look, to have an online course or a blended course, you need to look at a pedagogy. When the student logs on, what do they see? How are they welcomed into that course? Do they belong to a wider learning community? Because these kids, as I said, they could be from Peterborough, Burra, Jamestown, Gladstone, Port Pirie, all attending this one course together. Do they feel that they belong to a class? Except, you know, not just the day they're there, but when they go away, belonging to an online community, I think that's important. And that's my aim, to get that across, that pedagogy of operating online. They all loved getting their flip video, and they started experimenting with it. Some of them were fairly long, and they need to really think about just filming those little clips that are very important, just get the main bits. A lot of them, they're teaching year 11 and 12, which are their last 2 years of school, and they're under a lot of pressure. And so time is an issue. But some interesting outcomes. I had an English teacher who, that's his sort of main teaching area, he was also responsible for some of the vet students in his school. He was very shy of technology when he came. But he could see the possibilities, and even though he perhaps wasn't confident in using it, he started thinking. And when he turned up, my last workshop was a bit of a showcase. They had to show what they'd been doing. He had used the flip video to record students in his Year 11 communications course running a mock job interview. And so they'd filmed it, and then they were able to look at it and review it. He'd also used Moodle to cater for the two different types of kids that he had in his class. He had some academic stream who were really interested in learning Shakespeare, but he had another group who didn't want anything to do with Shakespeare. So he was able to set up some individual courses and for these kids to go in different directions. He also started to see Moodle as a way to get parents interested and on board by setting up the Moodle for parents to log into and using as a communication tool within the school community. So that was great. And I got great feedback from the leaders in the district just about that guy. They said, you've really switched him on to thinking in a new way. And that was great feedback for me. School leaders who attended these workshops, they started to think about this. All of our secondary teachers need to start thinking like this. If we all set up online content to give kids access anywhere, anytime, especially when they're all, they're missing my classes because they're travelling to another school. So school leaders are supporting it. They want to run workshops now for their whole staff. And district leadership are supporting it, and along with other distant learning technologies which we promote, and we run workshops in video conferencing, etc. So overall, it's been a very interesting project. I want to continue it. Folks, I hope that some of it was relevant to your teaching areas. As I said, I didn't come as an expert. I'm open to ideas and would love to learn about what you're doing. This is me. Please email me at any time if you'd like to find out how things are following up. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Sitting there and listening to the presentation, I was seeing the relevance of that kind of approach, and maybe using different technologies. I can't get away from the fact that most of the mobile phones that young people have these days will record video, will record audio, and there are mechanisms for doing it. And I think that using the technology which people have is often another approach to doing this. But at the same time, I think that the diploma courses, which are about to be starting for a 14-year-old plus in many UK schools over the next 2 years, where students will be taking courses away from their home school, that local authorities and schools now need to start to think about the ways in which they can use those technologies to enable assessment to be done and an evidence of assessment to be provided in those sorts of ways. Any questions or points for Paul? And then we'll have general questions, and we'll try and let you out 2 minutes early so you get to the front of the coffee queue, on condition you do all come back afterwards, because we've got some really good speakers after the break as well. So any questions or points for Paul's discussion? Yep, here we go. Do you want to go to the lecture?
Steve just rightly touched on the issue of assessment and the acceptability of it. One of the issues we have in getting such evidence accepted is whether exam boards accept it. Have you had such issues when using that as evidence in Australia?
At this stage, we haven't actually submitted any of this sort of work for assessment, but working with the people who are teaching the courses and some of the people involved in designing the courses, there's a lot of interest, but there's still scepticism. These are tradies. These are people who want to see that that kid can actually hit the hammer and get the nail in properly. So I think there's going to be... We're going to have to move sort of to try and nurture the assessors. It's really to solve a problem of kids in isolated areas. But it may be a combination. Maybe a combination of students creating media and having an assessor actually on the job. I'd just like to comment on Steve when you talked about the use of mobile phones, etc. I mean, I really meant to say that students could be using their mobile phones to make these little films, but I'm aware in England as well, mobile phones are not really accepted by our teachers in schools. So the flip video is a way of getting around that at the moment. I think that it will just flow on, that once they see what you can do with a flip, you can also do it with... Because the kid will come up and say, hey, I can do that with my phone, then that might grow.
Any other questions?
I don't have all the answers, but from my awareness is that in MVQs particularly, they're already accepting... visual evidence through video evidence like that. And it's actually worth talking to those assessors that are actually going through those vocational programmes in MVQs. They're already looking at it in terms of apprenticeships as well. And I know for a fact that most MVQ assessors now will accept that sort of evidence if it's actually accepted through their sort of programme. It is happening, so there is practice and good practice out there that you can actually access. Yes.
Thank you again, Paul. Thank you very much for that.
If the little flips could make their way back to the front.
You see, I was trying to just keep you distracted so they can help with them. That's the thing. That's great. So could you just say thanks very much again to Deb Paulson and to Paul Doherty for coming. Thank you.